second hour. Darren Donick and Chase on this gorgeous Wednesday here in Middle Tennessee. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. We always enjoy our chats with our next guest. You can hear him on 94.9 every weekday from 2 until 6 p.m. Paul Feinbaum now joins us. Paul, how you doing?
Doing great, guys. I hope you've had a good late spring, early summer, whatever this is. It's great to be on.
Yeah, we're doing better than NBA coaches today. It seems to be D-Day for them. I feel like every hour we're announcing a new coach that's been shown the door. So
some of those guys should have never been rehired. So remember that.
Well said. There's been some recycling in the NBA for sure. We've had some discussions on this, and we thought, man, you're the perfect guy to bring in this. Obviously, you're talking about too. But I guess the question that I've had in this whole thing is, as we've all done this on these shows for years and years and years, it started off, and Paul, you know the timeline of, college playoff. Oh, you can't do playoffs. That's like finals week. I mean, these kids can't do playoffs. They've got tests to do. And then it went, that narrative for a long time. And then we finally arrived to where we are today with four teams. But then there was the, what about six? What about eight? And then people would constantly say, it's going to water down the product, or that's too much, or no, they can't do this. The regular season won't matter. All the crap that we've heard. Now we've just blown by all that, and now we're at 12 teams. How in the world did we blow past six and eight that everybody pushed back on every time we would throw it out there to now, let's talk about 12?
Well, I think the answer is that for the first time in any of our memory, the people that run college football decided to skip a few steps, like catching up, and instead of trying to catch up to where the world is, they just went ahead and moved forward. And ultimately what caused this was what you guys hear all the time when discussing college football, that it's gotten stale. It's the same three or four teams. It's not particularly exciting down the stretch. The regular season has lost its meaning. And ultimately what I think pushed this over the top was the NFL. The NFL template is so successful. And why? You guys know it. Whether the Titans are having a stellar season or limping to the finish, there's something at stake usually in December. If you win this game, does that put you in a wild card position? If you win this game, does that get you home field? If you win this game, does that get you a bye? And instead of fighting that, which college football has always done, they decided to embrace it. They'll never say that. And this has been going on for about 2 years. And it began 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, at the site of one of the worst championship games we've ever had, when Clemson shocked Alabama and won by, I think, 28 points, or it seems like it may have been more. And they started, and I think what ultimately happened, and I'll be quiet here, is that the SEC commissioner, Greg Sankey, realized that if we went from 4 to 8, that would mean 5 automatic qualifiers, a group of 5, and his league would be fighting for that second berth. And I think he convinced everyone, especially the Notre Dame AD, to say, you know what, forget that. Let's take the 6 best, the 6 highest rated conferences, which will pretty much include everyone. And then have 6 more. Which guess who the biggest beneficiary is? The SEC.
Yeah. Can they justify this? Can they put their heads on their pillows at night? Because they used to always also throw out, "But these are student athletes, and we care about player safety." Look, we all know this is all phony baloney. We get all that, but it does seem like they're coming to grips with all their phony baloney crap that we've heard for years and years, that they can have these kids playing this many games as student athletes because of some of the rule changes, and now they're getting some compensation. I mean, how do they justify? I mean, the winner, the national championship game, would have what, Paul? 16 games under their belt in a season? Or is it 17?
Well, it could be 17.
If you didn't get a bye.
Right. And I think what's changed is what's happening right now with this name, image, and likeness and the Supreme Court case. All these things that we've all just kind of shaken our head out and watched the NCAA president fight for years, and now it's all here. And, a little bit of last summer, of COVID, and all these things I think have just come together. And even though they'll continue using the farcical phrase student athlete, it should be outlawed. I mean, it just shouldn't never be uttered again. They're coming to grips with players are getting money. They're going to be getting money in 2 weeks, whether we want them to or not. So we might as well just, you know, quit acting like these are juniors in high school, as opposed to, you know, young men who are about to play professional football or go off into the world and do whatever they want to do. And yeah, it seems like it happened overnight, although I really think this has been happening for a long time. And, you know, revolutions, you know, sometimes catch you by surprise, but this was a revolution. And I will say, as someone who has covered this game for 40 years, I think this is possibly the most exciting moment, at least in the modern history of college football, because there's hope for the first time, as opposed to cynicism. There's something to look forward to. And here's where I'm going to end that phrase, that conversation on. They better not screw it up. Now, what do I mean by that? When they're meeting in Chicago tomorrow, and they'll pass this, and, you know, another group will certify it next week, and another group will certify it in September. That's just a couple more chances for college football leaders to have the presidential suite at the Lowe's or the Ritz-Carlton and kill a few more days. But it's going to come down to this. Is this going to go into effect in 2 years, which is the earliest time they say it's going to go into effect? Or is the Rose Bowl going to do what it's always done and say, we're not budging off of January 1st because we have a contract, and then the Sugar Bowl and everybody goes lock stock, and we're sitting here for the next 4 or 5 years talking about the future? I think that will be a killer, and I know a lot of people think there's no chance, but I'm telling you, knowing how much progress we've already made, I also know some of the players involved, and I'm talking about the Big Ten and the Pac-12, and they can still screw this up.
Interesting.
By the way,
points.
If you don't believe me, let me direct you to August 11th, 2020, when both leagues announced they were not playing football in 2020, and we saw what a disastrous decision that was.
Yep. Okay, so I hesitate to bring this up because we have the Music City Bowl here. We love it. It's been here for decades. It's been successful in our market. But with that being said, if this goes through the steps that you just laid out there, and that's where we're headed, what is the fallout of the current bowl system that we have?
I won't write it off completely because they will, as one caller told me the other night, I'll bet on every one of them. I said, well, good. And as long, you know, as long as there is a betting line, there will be people that care. And as long as ESPN is in business, there will be games televised. So, I mean, that's the good news. The bad news is very few people are going to care beyond that. And, the problem for the bowl games, other than the big games, is that they're getting squeezed. The week before Christmas is usually a bunch of bowl games that nobody really cares about. You know, Vegas, Montgomery, Mobile, somewhere in Florida, all these games that we're just cramming in because there's a spot for it on the television dial. But now that weekend is going to be cluttered with first round playoff games. So a lot of the energy will get sucked out of it. I mean, there'll still be a sponsor. There'll still be, some haberdashery downtown in Nashville who will make those putrid polyester blazers for these guys to parade around in at football games throughout the fall, but they just won't mean very much. And with 44, I think, about to go into effect next year, I would say a great deal of them will go by the wayside. A game like, as long as you're hooked into a league like the SEC, you'll probably survive short term, but there's no guarantee.
Talking to Paul Feinbaum about the proposed new college football playoff system, Paul, a couple of things come to mind as you say that. Let's take four programs. Let's take Vanderbilt. Let's take Kentucky most years. Let's take Western Kentucky and Middle Tennessee, all in our listening area here. You know, a good season for them would be, hey, win 6 or 7 games, go to a bowl game. Maybe it's the Music City Bowl, or, you know, maybe, like you said, it's Mobile or something for a Middle Tennessee. They've been up to Detroit. They've been to plenty of places, but you know, that's a good year for them, for programs like that. For a lot of programs across the country where that's that is sort of a measuring stick, right? They know they're not probably going to be in this new playoff. Do you think it affects those teams? Because those bowl games are pretty valuable to them, at least for feathering the cap purposes.
Yeah, I think for Vanderbilt, I mean, let's try winning a football game before we worry about a bowl game. But
well, that's currently a problem. But they, you know what I'm saying? Like they went to.
No, I mean,
Derek Mason got them to a couple bowl games. I mean, that for they went 26 years without going to one of those games, right? Then all of a sudden
those
they went to what, 5 out of 10 years, and
no,
so it's much more realistic than it used to be.
For a middle, I don't think the equation will change very much. I tell you the school that you mentioned that it could be a big factor, and that's Kentucky. Let me go back a couple of years. Kentucky had, I think it was 3 years ago, Kentucky had this epic season. They played Georgia first weekend in November for the division and lost. And the next week they went out and blew a game to Tennessee, which remains, yeah, I can't even explain how bad a loss that was. I mean, any loss to Tennessee in the last 10 years has been bad. If the 12-team playoff had been in existence, Kentucky would not have lost to Tennessee, and it's possible they could have found their way on the edge of the playoff. That's where I think this comes into effect on that front. But yeah, we're going to hear two different conversations. We're going to hear we're on the bubble of the playoff, and then we're going to get the phrase we're two wins away from being bowl eligible, which is something that you'll hear Clark Lee talking about in 2 or 3 years. So I don't think I think everyone benefits from this. There's something to shoot for, regardless of where you are in the pecking order. But it will save some jobs. It will also cost some jobs. But ultimately, this is a good thing.
All right, let me take it a different direction, Paul, with the venues for these extra games. You would imagine there's going to be quite a competition. We know that the top games or the top bowls that have always been hosts for these things are going to be the obvious ones. But is there a spot for a Nashville to try to get in some sort of rotation to grab one of these first round games? Well, I guess the first round would be on home sites by this, but is there any shot for a quarterfinal game for Nashville?
Yeah. I don't want to sound like I'm working, downtown for the chamber, but there is a spot for Nashville for any sporting event, for any type of event known to mankind. I live in Charlotte. When I moved here, people kept telling me that it's one of the hottest cities in the country. And I'm looking around and go, really? Where? And I'll say one more thing. Somebody once said that when I got here, he said, you're from Tennessee. So Charlotte is basically Nashville without the music industry. Nashville right now has everything. And I think, and I'm sure it's going on, there needs to be a push for Nashville to elevate its bowl status, because it has everything that people want. It's a cool city. The NFL experience a couple of years ago resonates. And here's where I think there is room. I don't think the way the construct is today will last. What I mean by that is the neutral sites after the first round. This proposal is there because there are already contracts in place. That's the stumbling block. I think the compromise to get this thing starting in 2 years will be to allow Atlanta, Pasadena, Dallas, Miami, Indiana, all these places that have contracts for bowl games, not Indianapolis, but the rest of them, to remain. But once we get to the end of this current contract, assuming that we morph the new one into it, then I think we're going to go to more, we may do a little more of the first round of the on-campus games, but we'll certainly see an open season on where the games will go. I think there'll be a lot more bidding. So I know I gave you a long answer, but Nashville's definitely in play, I think.
We're talking to Paul Feinbaum of the SEC Network and ESPN. And, speaking of those two entities, your employer, I mean, what do you think this does for the TV contracts? I mean, we know that there would be a huge change in that, because you're going to be airing more playoff games, and they would have to look at that. But could you see the potential for another network coming in to share part of that?
Well, I think that's the critical issue. And I can assure you, I don't know. I mean, you guys work for a big company. I know. I work for them. And they rarely ever consulted those of us behind the microphone on what they were doing in the boardrooms in New York. I think this was a message to ESPN. If you want in, this is your moment. We will now come to you, even though you and I, we all know ESPN has been breached. I mean, they're too big of a player not to have been. But I think ESPN, based on what I see, since they own college football as it is, I know Fox has a few things, and CBS is, still has the SEC contract at least for a couple more years in theory, that ESPN would probably want to go all in. I mean, I can't imagine why they wouldn't.
Yeah, no, for sure. You brought up the NFL product and how successful it has been. If college football goes down this road and they go with 12 and they stick with that number, we can just say, this is it, that's going to be the number. Where do you think they can take this? And, will you be able to pull some of those NFL-only fans back over to college football because you're going to have a similar postseason format that they've been used to?
I think so, because right now, under the current format, it's not working. The playoff games are supposed to build the audience for the CFP championship, and you guys know it hasn't happened. And I know everyone wants to use last year as an outlier, but you can't. The championship game between Alabama and Ohio State, which only have two of the biggest names in the history of the game, drew fewer fans on that Monday night than the semifinal games on New Year's Day. And the reason is simple. They're battling the NFL. I mean, last year with the expansion of the playoff, there were three wild card games on Sunday leading into the CFP championship. And guys, working for ESPN, I've been there many a Sunday morning, to do like an early appearance on SportsCenter, and then find myself going back to the hotel because they don't need me anymore because it's 9 o'clock and the NFL playoffs are right around the corner, and that's where the interest is. And that's always been an issue for me. And this will change the dynamics for the first time in that first weekend. I mean, I think college football will own that weekend. I mean, yeah, the NFL will still be going on Sunday. They're not going to shut down. But it won't be as much. There'll at least be some buildup. But when you have all those games going on, I think fans will feel invested, especially on the West Coast, where college football has been a wasteland for a number of years.
So here's the open-ended question for you, Paul, because it looks like the argument of the playoff and expanding the playoff, all right, that's moving in the direction of resolution, if you want to call it that. Paying players or name, image, and likeness, that's moving towards some sort of a resolution. What's going to be the next big argument that people are going to be clamoring for in college football?
Amazingly, and I would have told you 2 weeks ago that there was no chance of this, but I think the next frontier, once all this gets cleared away, which will take a couple of years, I think you're going to see expansion again, because there is so much money now and so much credibility with certain leagues, and there is not that with others. I think you can look at the map, And I think you're going to see 2011 all over again, 2010, when all of a sudden schools start saying, we're in the wrong place. And I know as soon as I say that, somebody's saying, well, don't you know their contract? Everybody's got a contract, okay? We all do. And somehow these things get broken. Maryland had a contract with the ACC, and they're playing in the Big Ten right now.
Yeah, contracts are, they're meant to be broken. Well said. Wow, that's it. So you think 16 team conferences? Is that what you're hinting
I think
at?
So. I was on the phone with somebody earlier today who heard me say something about this the other day, and he said, "What do you know?" I said, "I don't know anything, but I think you're onto something." And I think it's down the road, but there are everyone's making more money here. Even the Pac-12, is going to turn a profit with this new deal. But there are a lot of vulnerable schools in conferences that are taking them nowhere. And you're going to need the conference. I mean, if you're in the Big 12, where do you go to get quality games? Where in the SEC, you just get your schedule every year and you're in good shape. And now the schedules are going to be enhanced. We're not going to see as many of these late November games that are just not watchable. The 11 o'clock game that nobody cares about. I mean, those games are you're going to see better quality games. And I think certain schools are going to say that there's only one way we can get better quality games. And that's get in the SEC, get in the ACC, get in the Big Ten. We've got to figure this thing out. So I think there are some vulnerable conferences out there.
Paul, always enjoy the visit. Thanks so much for your time. Continue to have a good summer, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, guys. It's always a pleasure. See you soon.
All right, that is Paul Feinbaum. You can hear his show starting at 2 o'clock today on 94.9. We'll come back and discuss that a little bit further on the other side. Could Nashville be a player for one of those semifinal games? We'll discuss. Right now, I want to talk to you about golf's third major of the year, and it's this weekend. DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is giving you a shot to land one on the green, something that I try to do when I play. I'm not very successful at it, but I do attempt to do that. But these guys will do it all weekend long, for sure. And this week, DraftKings is going to give you 100-1 odds on Bryson DeChambeau sinking at least one birdie this weekend. That should get your attention. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook, this is the time. That's 100-1 odds on Bryson DeChambeau hitting a birdie during the tournament. 100-1 odds on an offer like this doesn't come around often, so sign up right now. Download that top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code 1025GAME. When you sign up, turn $1 into $100 in free credits. And remember, all DeChambeau has to do is sink a birdie this weekend, and you are a winner. Once again, that code 1025GAME, and turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Remember, this is for a limited time, only DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
I think the compromise to get this thing starting in 2 years will be to allow Atlanta, Pasadena, Dallas, Miami, Indiana, all these places that have contracts for bowl games, not Indianapolis, but the rest of them, to remain. But once we get to the end of this current contract, assuming that we morph the new one into it, then I think we're going to go to more, we may do a little more of the first round of the on-campus games, but we'll certainly see an open season on where the games will go. I think there'll be a lot more bidding. So I know I gave you a long answer, but Nashville's definitely in play, I think.
There we go. Part of our conversation with Paul Feinbaum to start the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase.
A lot of things to chew on there in that interview.
Where do you want to start chewing? Yeah. I know, one bite at a time. But
let's start with what we just played, because I think it's something that I will guarantee you that Scott Ramsey and his group are already delving into.
No doubt.
And that is, can you get in on this game? Right? We know that Bill Hancock, God bless him, we know what he is, and he's a mouthpiece and all that stuff. and he has told us one of the more insightful things. A lot of times you get the company line from him. We know that.
But he was honest and did say, listen,
I have told Scott Ramsey that the semifinal and the final
will never
come to Nashville
because of
the weather. You're just too far north.
No, because of the stadium.
Well, and but also he said it's too far north. We don't want to have – we can't risk a January game. He talked about the –
because of the stadium. They go to Atlanta.
The stadium, right.
Well, yes. So it's both. Right, it's because of the stadium being open.
Look,
air.
If they had the stadium that Atlanta has, Nashville would absolutely.
Oh, okay,
be in
we know that. And if Atlanta was open air, then
they wouldn't get
it's,
it.
I don't know if they would get it, right? Because there's still a chance.
I know
it would be
they
cold. I remember a Super Bowl that the Titans were in. It was pretty cold in Atlanta in January, but
there was an ice storm.
So will it be different for a quarterfinal? Paul thinks yes, just because of everything that Nashville has to offer, despite the fact that it's not a state-of-the-art facility. I'd like to think that that's the case. Really, that's the only chance that they have, is to play it in that stadium. Could you soup it up a little bit more? You're not going to put a roof on it. And would the NCAA be okay with a quarterfinal game that's not the greatest weather or a little cold?
No.
You don't think so? No chance?
Nope. No.
So you think Paul is wrong?
Yeah. No, it's not coming. I can't say it any louder. If they want to just keep, if they want to keep doing this at Nissan Stadium and say it's fine and paint the light towers and spruce it up, and that's fine. But that's okay. And if you want to have summer concerts there like they're about to do with Garth Brooks, that's fine. I understand. Right. They're doing more stuff than they've ever done.
We know that's
not
going to happen anytime soon.
If they want to keep trotting out the statement of our stadium is fine, then okay. Then cheapen this city because we get everything basically we want. Okay, everybody wants to come here, and yet we are now going to be limited with what we can bring here because
they
will not budge.
That is not meant to be where the discussion is.
You're not going to bring up this topic and not expect me to talk about it.
Okay, but Darren, we all agree. You're preaching to the choir. We know that. We know that if we had a state-of-the-art facility with a roof, then we would have Super Bowls and all these other things that we're not in the game for. I'm asking the question, in our current state,
the answer's no.
Can we get a quarterback? Well, Paul Feinbaum said yes. That's why I'm bringing it up.
I'm telling you the answer's no. It's no.
I'm not ready to say it's no.
Well, I'm going to go this direction. I'm going to say, and let me finish. I'm going to say I hope the answer is no because of what Darren's saying, that the NCAA and the playoff committee goes, yeah, no, and they keep saying no. And then that lights a fire under this city and the Titans to go, you know what? We're losing out on the biggest thing possible, the biggest thing coming outside
really
of a Super Bowl.
Right? It's more
things,
it's
plural. Yeah.
There's a lot of things that you would have if you had a different
facility. Think about it. Think about what, and I know it's not done yet, but the racetrack at the fairgrounds. I mean, it's been a long process. But it got to the point where you had Gladeville get the race that NASCAR has wanted to come to Nashville and be in Nashville. But they're like, hey, you know what? We're
your
tired
facility,
of waiting.
That's the problem, right? The facility.
Yeah, it's the facility. And what is it that magically happened as soon as the race out in Gladeville was announced? What happened? We got a letter of intent. Oh, that's okay. So there's movement. It's like okay. Well, I guess we're awake now. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that unfortunately has to happen. And so therefore, I do hope that you see the NCAA go, yeah, no, we're not coming there. We want to. We would love to. But you got to do more than, you know, change the dead flowers and the plants
the
and
flower beds.
Paint the paint the light
done?
Poles.
Right,
which they've
done.
We've had a field day with
paint
that
the
stuff.
Seats.
Right, we have.
Oh,
we've had
you
a field
were Mr.
Day
light.
That.
You were light.
I was
Mr.
the
light,
light pole.
Tower.
The flower.
He
box,
was the update.
No question.
Willie was giving us the light tower update.
As the East Sider who drove by there every day,
there's one that is still not painted, and I want answers.
Yeah, they were very pale. They were pinkish.
Oh, they were pale. All right, yeah. They were not red.
It ceased to be red at some point. It's now red. I think it's interesting because they're going to try. Despite the three of us were in agreement, right? We'd love to see it, but I'm becoming a little more realistic. It's not going to happen. It's
where
just not going to happen.
Where are their playoff games
soon.
Right now? Let's go through the checklist. Where are their playoff games? Let's see. Dallas.
Yep.
Right.
Pasadena.
Arizona. Glendale.
Right, and we know they're going to continue to get those games, but there are going to have to be new venues introduced. That's why I'm saying, can you get into this?
Because here's the deal.
So tell me, he mentioned Lucas Oil Stadium. There's one that's probably going to try to jump on one of these games.
I think they'll get one.
Let me just tell you where they're going, because if Nashville
LA,
just sits
Vegas.
Here and just says, we're okay, we're good, you betcha there's going to be one in L.A. SoFi, what is it, SoFi, whatever
SoFi.
It's called? Las Vegas, hello. Yeah, there'll be one in Las Vegas. So if we want to just sit here and say, oh, everything's fine, our stadium's just fine the way it is, that's fine. Okay. But these events will go to Las Vegas, and they'll go to L.A., and they'll go to all the other usual stopping places. We will never be in the rotation. It's not going to
happen. I don't believe that's true. I think Nashville still has a lot to offer despite – because they have everything else besides the facility.
No, we have tons to offer. No, we are in the rotation. We have everything to offer except for a roof because they're not going to play playoff games and have it snow or, you know, have horrible weather in the playoff games. They're not going to do it. They don't do it now. Why would they start? Just because Nashville's swell?
Well, it's an extra
because
round
we live now. Here and we want it? Hey,
well, let's throw this out there. Okay, I'm playing devil's advocate. Right now, the plan is the 5 through 12 games in the first round are going to be at home sites. So
which
this
is smart.
Just in.
That's smart.
Okay, so this just okay. in. If Nebraska is hosting a game as the 5 seed, that might be a really cold game. If Ohio State is hosting a game or if Michigan is hosting a game, those games could be really cold games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so either they're going to play a lot of cold games, and so if you play a cold game in the first round, why couldn't you play a cold game in the second round? That's going to be Nashville's argument. Or if you're just going to scrap that and just say all of the games need to play at a neutral site, then that opens up more venues to be had, and that would put Nashville in play as well for first-round games.
I just think it's not
your answer, Darren, is a hands-down, it's never going to happen. I just don't think that's the case. I think there's a chance that Nashville could get in on this. And let me tell you, if you're them, you better get in the game because the Music City Bowl is going to be a watered-down thing in this new world, yep. right, with the expanded playoff field, bowl games will have less significance. They've done a great job elevating that bowl game. When they first announced way, way back in the 90s they were going to have a bowl game, I think we were all like, really?
Mm-hmm.
What's that going to be like? Is that going to be a big deal? I've been so impressed with over a generation now of what they've built that into. Mm-hmm. It's a rock-solid bowl game.
It is, absolutely.
On the second tier.
And that's right? why I said that when I asked the question to Paul, like, hey, yeah. I hesitate. Because we love the Music City Bowl. We love Scott Ramsey and his crew, and they've done a fantastic job. But what's it going to do? What's it going to do to the current bowl system?
And we've been to some Music City Bowls, which would be played at the same sort of time on the calendar as a proposed quarterfinal game or first
round
game.
Awful weather. We've seen
some that have had really nice weather and some that have been really, really cold.
Yes,
Elijah and I were talking last night. I remember 2008, Vandy, Boston College. It was deathly cold.
Frigid.
And believe me, I was in the stands from start to finish on that
one. I was there with my dad.
That's the first time Vanderbilt was in a bowl game in 26 years.
Kentucky-Clemson, I think it was. Kentucky-Clemson. Or was it Kentucky-Florida State? I don't remember. There was a Kentucky one that was I think it was Kentucky-Clemson. Really, really cold day.
Yeah, and you know, I think, and Darren, I'm sure you'll push back here, but if they just had a state-of-the-art, like just went all in and did a state-of-the-art stadium that had all the amenities like a New York or something like that and didn't have a roof, while it wouldn't be ideal, I still think you would see. I mean, they played a Super Bowl in New York
They got lucky. They got really lucky.
They did.
It could have been a disaster because
but they
the
still
blizzard
did it.
Hit the next day. It hit Monday.
Right. They still did it. So I think that you have to look at it. Yes, ideally, I'm with you. Retractable roof, do it. Boom, you get anything you want. There's no argument anymore. But if they had a state-of-the-art stadium and it was open air, even if it's similar to Miami, kind of what they did where it's semi-covered, then you're still going to get more than what you have now.
Well, the reality is you're going to have bad weather games because of what we said. The first round is in home sites. There will be a lot of northern teams that grab a playoff spot that host a game, 5, 6, 7, 8 seeds. They're going to play in cold weather.
If you don't understand
NFL
the
games are in cold weather every year
of the stadium and what it means to a market, Atlanta's the prime example. Atlanta gets so much, and Nashville could take so much away from them.
Honestly.
Right, but they get it because of the facility. Think about it.
They got it with the Georgia Dome.
The Georgia Dome was not that old.
No. Okay? It wasn't a great facility either.
It wasn't a great facility, I agree. But it wasn't that old. And they said, we're going bigger
and we're going
better. Right, we're going to step it up. Because you know why? They make so much money, that city, because of all the things they host because of that arena.
But who did it?
Because of that stadium.
Who did
again,
that?
You're preaching to the choir. I'm going off of the notion or the fact that everybody here, the Titans, the city leaders, there's not a single piece of momentum for this vision that we've had for the last 5 to 10 years. You know, we've been saying this for 5 to 10 years. If you think big, there's opportunities out there.
And we'll continue to say it. I mean, but
we'll continue to say it. But I'm just saying, I brought this up because of the current system.
Sure,
this is going to start maybe as early as next season. You know, and probably
like
more like two seasons.
Years. Yeah, 2 years.
But even
probably.
So, that we have, you know, we could start today.
Why wait?
We could start today, and then that thing wouldn't be ready for the start of it. I'm just saying that in a couple years they got to have sites for these games. So why not Nashville?
Yeah. The thing with Atlanta, though, and that facility, I mean, who did it? It was Arthur Blank. Arthur Blank said, like, all right.
Let's go for it.
Let's do it. And that's what, unfortunately, I think is what it's going to take here. I mean, the Adams family is going to have to be like, yeah, we got to do.
That's what I'd like to see from the Adams family.
And they have shown no.
Yeah, they just don't seem. They've never carried the torch for Nashville, really, along those lines. Thinking outside.
Well, that picture's been painted a lot more, you know, and I understand why, because Bud Adams he just blew into town for a game and blew out of town, and so they've tried to, you know, paint the picture that, oh, Amy's here a lot more, she bought a house here, and that's all great, but to your point, I mean, there's really still, if she lived here, I mean, if this was her home through and through, Nashville community, I just think it would be a different narrative, but it's hard to feel that way if you don't live here full time. If you're not fully invested in the market, you own something. I think it's just truly hard to be like, yes, this is the right thing to do for this market, because I just think that's how it works. If you're not fully invested in something, you don't really think like that. But they've tried to kind of change that. I understand why, because there was a disconnect between the Adams family and this market. Rightfully so. It deserved to be a disconnect because there was. They were living in Houston.
She has done a better job than her dad did.
That hasn't changed the status
bar
of the
stadium.
I know.
The bar was pretty low.
I'm just saying, you are
correct.
The Titans have come out openly and said, we don't want to build a new stadium. We're okay with what we got.
Which is the wrong move.
Well, for the city, that doesn't serve the... Because now, we throw this to the list, right? We now have a new item for the list of what's out there that a brand new state-of-the-art facility could be in the game for. And because we know Nashville's got all the other pieces, right? They got the perfect spot downtown. It's the great place to visit, all of those things, the entertainment, touristy. So you got this on top of men's and women's Final Four. You know, we're talking about Super Bowl. We're talking about
National Championship.
World Cup. We're talking about all kinds. I mean, there's just now, as the list gets longer, does that maybe get somebody going? Right now, you have zero. But the Titans have got to start the discussion along with the city leaders.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean.
But that discussion is not going to start because of this.
But see, here's the other problem. The city leaders part, you're right. Because there is still, and I still don't get how this is a thing, but I've lived here my whole life. You guys have lived here a very long time. There's still a section of old Nashville that is just like, no, we're good. We don't want to grow. We don't want anything. They didn't want the team. They didn't want the Preds. They didn't, you know, they're fighting the racetrack. I mean, they fought the soccer team. Like, no, we're good. We're fine. We're good being a little old southern city. And some of those people are in positions of power, and it's just like, yeah, no, we're good. We're
but
fine.
But here is what I think about a lot. At some point, the stadium is going to age to the point where it's got to be addressed anyway. So right now their idea is just to right now is to renovate what they have,
which is
if you're going to do that, then why not
spend hundreds of millions of dollars on that? Why? It's just such, to me, it's fixing up the old car that keeps breaking down. It's like, how much money,
I think there's a lot to that. Yeah.
But it's like, how much are you going to keep sinking it? Like, if you ever sit down, that's what you should do if you have an older car that just keeps, like, start writing down actually how much money you spend. And then figure out, like, I love not having, because that's the line, right? I've just grown used to not having the car payment. I love it, not having the car payment. Well, if you've actually sat down and done the math, are you really saving? Do you really not have a car payment if you're spending X amount every month or every other month having to fix up the old car? Or would it be better just to buy a new car and not have to worry about it every time you went out there, anything going wrong?
Penny wise and pound foolish.
It's just at some point, if you keep spending money to renovate hundreds of millions of dollars, what are you doing? You're just fixing up the old car. Just get a new car.
Again, you're not. I'm not arguing that because I think we all agree with that. And I understand that our city has a lot of issues and a lot of projects that they already have sunk a lot of money into, like the stadium and now the fairgrounds and all of that stuff. But this is the one that could have the biggest impact, you know?
Yep, no doubt. All right, we'll come back, wrap up the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Don't forget this Friday, your chance to participate in Nashville SC Pick to Click. It's brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game this Friday night, you win a prize pack, which is a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Next chance to participate is this Friday morning at 9:45, so check that out. Stan Van Gundy, has been shown the door in New Orleans. Scott Brooks has been shown the door in Washington. Not a good day for NBA coaches and NBA coaches that haven't been there very long. And now the Clippers have learned that Kawhi Leonard has suffered an ACL, a torn ACL.
So,
pretty significant.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Because they're right in that series.
Thanks for playing. That'll do it.
That is
season over.
Mm. You guys ready for a Jazz Nets final or a Jazz Sixers final?
I am jazzed up for that.
I don't really know how the ratings will be for that, but
the Jazz are fun to watch. Donovan Mitchell is a superstar that does not have the name or the hype, all whatever you want to use. You know what I'm saying? Like, this guy puts up numbers like Durant and like Steph Curry and those guys. I mean, put his numbers alongside those guys. They're not very different, but he has nowhere near the star power.
He would if they played in the finals.
That will help, right? And you know, there's not much you can do about the fact that he plays in Utah, but that's a part of it too. Yep. But that guy is an unreal player.
He is unreal. The other thing was brought up in the Paul Feinbaum interview was he's saying, okay, if all this happens and plays out, what's next?
Which is going to.
It is.
This is going to 12.
He said
the cart is rolling.
A conference reshuffling again. Expansion, reshuffling. I'm not sure. I mean, he obviously didn't name names, but was he kind of also hinting that some teams would be told or schools would be told, yeah, you're not really doing it for us here, so we're going to boot you out?
So.
It kind of felt like that.
Which is kind of funny because I made the joke yesterday about relegation, and isn't that kind of what it is? I mean, that.
But it's ironic that you have, that he's saying that, and you have now, in this new format, the avenue for a Cincinnati, a Boise State, a UCF.
Memphis,
all those teams, they have a pathway into this thing now.
That's the question is, of the teams that are in the group of five, you know, what teams truly belong in the Power Five that are or could compete in the Power Five?
Well, it's up to the Power Five to decide whether they want those teams in and what they have to offer. Remember, there was an assumption back when all this was happening. I guess Paul threw out 2010, 2011. I lose track of the years, but when Texas started the whole eruption, right? And it was going all over the place. And, you know, everybody. So the SEC eventually went from 12 to 14. Maybe you can pinpoint the year, Elijah, if you look back. But the assumption was it would eventually go to 16 for all those Power 5 leagues.
There would be four super conferences with 16 teams. Yeah.
When I said 16, he said yes.
Well, Because think about a team like a school like Memphis. You know, in basketball over the years, they've been able to compete and probably would compete in the Power Five. For football, I think if they had a better stadium, you could make the same argument. But they're playing at the crappy old Liberty Bowl.
Well, here is what I would be in favor for. You tell me, guys, if you would go for this. Because one thing that has happened, it has become a nightmare in some of these leagues to travel. Mm-hmm. And the other sports get crushed, right? Just trying to get their players from point A to point B back home. I mean, there's just a lot of mileage that have been added in there. That's not good for the athletic budgets. What would you guys think of reclassifying football and having, you know, a conference for football that might not be the same, might be similar, but not exactly the same as the rest of the sports?
I could totally
see
that.
And have a more regional balance when it comes to the other sports.
And a college football commissioner?
Maybe you would have something like that go along with it. That way you could reassess what Notre Dame is.
Already going on right now, but I don't love it.
No?
I don't love it. No,
but if you go to 16, it's even going to be more
crazy.
It cheapens
rivalries.
I mean, Boston College is playing. All of their teams are playing in the ACC. They got to send teams to Miami all the time. That's got to be killing them, and vice versa. Miami's got to send teams to Boston. Maryland is sending all of their teams to Nebraska, right? In a conference schedule,
but they made that decision.
But it was all football that,
sure,
that dictated that. It wasn't for tennis and track and baseball and even basketball. You know, all these other sports where there's a lot more travel involved because there's more games. So there would be some sense. There would be some practicality in, okay, what's football and then what are the other sports? Mm-hmm. I don't know if it'll get to that. I don't know if the ball will be rolling. Because that was tied in a little bit with my question to Paul about, you know, how does this affect Western? How does this affect Middle Tennessee, who are likely not, maybe once in a 25-year, 30-year period, you could contend for one of those last playoff spots, maybe, if the planets aligned. He threw out Kentucky. I think Kentucky would be in that discussion, right? They're not going to contend every year for football. They might have a great season once every so often, but most years, their good season is winning 6, 7, 8 games, going to a bowl game. So what happens to those teams? How does it affect those programs? There's a lot more of them than there are teams that are going to be in the playoffs.
Yep. All right, we'll come back, start the third hour with Trey Wingo. We'll get into a little NFL talk with him. Tim Hasselbeck is out today because of his TV schedule. Hopefully he'll join us tomorrow or Friday. We'll come back. Third hour of Darren Donick and Chase next.